Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, to faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. We're talking on the subject possessing our inheritance, and specifically, we're in this area we call receiving our inheritance. Receiving our inheritance. Now, let me say something on the front end of this. This that I am teaching right now is revelation. Revelation, I need help, because it's like a baby being born that I need a midwife to help out. Somebody gonna have to push, and somebody gonna have to pull. This is the way it's gonna have to happen. Say amen to this. But folks, a higher level of revelation, a higher level of manifestation. See, I'm looking for the manifestations here. So I know they don't come without revelation. Now, let's get in this. Verse 13. The promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So now we're talking about heir of the world. That was not just to Abraham, but Abraham and his seed. Galatians 3:29 says, if we belong to Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what belongs to Abraham belongs to his seed. We know the seed is Christ, but we're in Christ and we're Abraham's seed. So these things that were lost because of Adam's sin have not been gotten back through Christ. And now what we're doing is making what was spiritually legally done, now making it a reality or manifestation. This is the year of manifestation. Look what it says in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to how much of the seed? All the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Folks, I go to different nations and I preach, and I said, some of you might think these things happen to me that I could get blessed and all that because I'm from the United States of America. I said, let me tell you something. The same God that's in the United States of America that's blessing me is the same God that's over here that's blessing you. That same God, meaning that the promise is for all the seed, not just in America, but in Africa, in Australia, in Central America, in South America, and wherever I go, that same blessing can be manifest independent of how the people are living around you. Why? Because it's going to be produced by faith and only by faith that it might be done as an act of grace. Now, that may not mean much to you here, but it means a lot to them there. It means that they don't have to live on the level of the nation that they have been born in. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is part of, and the faith that we're talking about is the faith of Abraham. Say faith of Abraham. And we're going to discover that just a little bit here in this teaching today. Now, what happened was, and I'll kind of try to bring this down to some place we can start at a certain point here. What we're looking here at is controlling the high places. Controlling the high places. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Do I have a midwife up in here somewhere? All right, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 5. And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever shall I, will I give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve.
All right.
Glory to God. Now, the church, we said, is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Did we get that? We showed you Joel chapter 2. We showed you Matthew chapter 16. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail or stop its forward progress. We showed you that we are offspring of God. We showed you Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that he said, Unto you I give power, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We showed you that. Now here is Satan. And the Spirit of God is giving us a revelation here, that the power is not in the system, but it's in whoever is in charge of the system. That's going to mean something to you in a minute. The power is not in the system. He throws the system up, and the system governs the people, and the people find themselves fighting the system. But it's not the system. It's the one behind the system. And the person, the natural world sees only the system. But you and I know that there's a strong man behind that system, and that you and I have been sent to do something with the strong man. Let's turn over, please, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Y'all gonna pull now, right? All right, Luke chapter 11. And look what it says here at verse 21. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoil. Now, divideth his spoil. So God is sending us to divide some spoil, that we are to take back everything that the enemy has stolen and all that he is using now to live in luxury. You and I are sent to take it back. But we're not just taking back material things, but we're also taking back people. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 2, please. Psalm chapter 2. I see right now we're going to get to the bottom of this. Psalm chapter 2. Amen. Look what it says here in verse 6 through 8. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the who? Heathen for thine inheritance, and, come on, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So we're not just coming to take back people. We're coming to take back everything that was stolen. That God is sending us, and every place he sends us, every place the sole of my feet shall tread upon, come on, that have I better turn to it. Coming over to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. So we're taking back everything that was stolen. In fact, we're coming in with a stronger man, one that's stronger than any system of the enemy, and we're coming to take back stolen property. We're coming to dismantle systems and to dispossess squatters. Are you following what I'm saying here now? Now, where did I tell you to turn just now? Joshua chapter 1. Now, look what he says to Joshua in verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, keep going, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses now, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man, Lord, please, be able to stand before you, keep going, all the days of your life. Keep going. So no one can keep you from reaching your destiny. Let me say it over here. No one, boy, I feel like preaching now. No one can keep you from reaching your promised land. No one. I said no one. From the White House to the outhouse. Come on. No mother, no father, no sister, no brother, no white, no black, no. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying the political system can't stop you. I'm saying nothing can stop you. No one can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. And God made it that way. So you can't put it on anybody else. You don't look and need to blame another person. You don't need to blame another system. You don't need to blame another government. I'm telling you right now, let me read that verse one more time because it gives me confidence. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That means when you're young, when you're middle age, when you're old age, it doesn't make any difference. There is no man all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And watch this. I will never fail you. Now, some people don't like that verse because that means they can't blame anybody else. But this is yours. Now, the problem is that battles are necessary for you to get to where you're going. I said battles are necessary for you to get to where you're going. But God is giving you the victory. I said the victory is already won. That all we have to do when we've done all that we can do to stand, we just stand. And God will deliver the victory. But here's what the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want you to know this. Because if you do stand, that if you get the victory, then your victory will promote you to another level of God's glory. And see the glory of the latter house. Oh, Jesus. Now, these things are yours. Now, what do we have to do? We've got to get to the mountaintop. We've got to get command of this mountain. Because right now, Satan had been controlling the mountains. The mountain of economics, the mountain of education, the mountain of arts and entertainment. He'd been controlling the mountains. But we came here not to take sides, but to take control. We're going to go to the top of this mountain. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't get there with fear. You can't get there with doubt and unbelief. You're going to get there one way. It's by faith. And God is giving you this mountain. And I'm telling you, in every battle, you have an opportunity to give up. But if you don't give up, you will reach your destiny. Say amen to that. Lord, have mercy. So notice what he's doing. He's trying to get Jesus to bow. If you'll just bow down and worship me, all this will be yours. But here's what we discovered, that the believer who does not bow is the one who is capable of shifting the climate once they get to the top of that mountain. So what we can't do is we can't bow down. We cannot compromise. We're not going to give an inch. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy, he said, have no mercy on them. In other words, don't feel sorry for them at all. You stand on that word and you stand on it without compromise, and it is going to promote you. Say amen to that. I don't know about you, but I'm going to the top of this mountain. I said, I'm going to the top of this mountain. Now, turn to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. My goodness. It's time to take control of this mountain. Ooh-wee. Micah chapter 4. Glory to God. Amen. We're not going to bow. See, we have a covenant obligation and a responsibility to possess this entire planet. God sent us here to possess this thing. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I want you to take over. I said, I want you to take over. And I want you to refuse to be terrified. Come on now. Because if you win the battle, it's going to be your qualifier for the next level of glory in your life. You're going to get promoted if you stand. Look what he says in Micah. Now, this is something I want to start off with that because it's talking about the mountains. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. So God is now going to raise you up. Look what it says in verse 10, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to where? Babylon. There thou shalt be delivered, and there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Verse 13, arise and thrash, O daughter of Zion. This is the church now. For I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, that's spiritual warfare. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain, that's their money, unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. So their money and riches are going to come into the church. Well, let's verify that. Well, the first thing, notice this mountain, that God is bringing us in control of these mountains. He's bringing us into a place. Now, understand, it's like Matthew chapter 13. He said, the kingdom of God is if a man plants seed in his field. And then that's a mustard seed. But it grows up to be a tree that is greater than all the trees in the field. So what is he saying? Even though you start out small, though your beginning be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. Job chapter 8, verse 7. Now, my point to you is that he's going to put us in the field. So it was not designed that the church be detached from the world. See, we've been looking to the world to consecrate, the church to consecrate their gain to us. No, my friends. That's the point. The point is that the world still got the money. But we got to get the money transferred from the world into the church. It says the wealth of the sinner is what? Laid up for the just. So the sinner's ministry is to lay it up. Your ministry is to take it in. So how long are we going to leave it laid up? I don't know about you, but I want mine. Well, all right, let's go. And let's go over to, glory to God, I lost my place now. Pray for me. Let's go over to Daniel. And Daniel now, and chapter 1, please. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Ooh-wee. Man, I can feel this thing. I got to get it out, though. Daniel chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. All right, in Daniel chapter 1, this is, I just want you to recognize one thing, verse 20. And all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, what? 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Didn't he? Say 10 times better. All right. Now, what is God doing? Ooh. You know, I didn't show you something. Can I show you that? I'm going to leave this right here, show you that, and then come back to this. Let's put something right there, please. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. I just kind of missed that. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. All right, if you have Mark chapter 4, say hallelujah. Verse 35. See, God is sending people to Hollywood. God is sending people to sports. God is sending people to education, to politics. He's sending them there. See, the promotion does not come from the east or west. You don't need to look to a man to promote you. That you cannot go to your next station or fulfill your next assignment. I'm not believing for it, but battles are necessary for you to get to where you're going. See, each level is a level of glory. And the enemy does not want you to manifest God's glory in this earth. Lord Jesus. And he tries to hold you down through something. But I gave you a key. Nobody can stop you from reaching your next destiny but you. So nobody can stop you. Now understand, what you say in the battle is half the battle. I'm going to say it again. What you say in the battle is half the battle. See, you can't let your faith go because that's all you have to win with. You've got to keep saying what God said. Well, that's not what the doctor said. I didn't say what the doctor said. I say you got to keep saying what God said. Well, the doctor says she doesn't have but 30 days to live. Nobody has the right to tell somebody else how long they have to live. You cancel it. Why? Because you got the authority. You are the strongest institution in the world ever. You're indestructible. You're unstoppable. You are invincible. Nothing can hurt you. Watch this. And you're indispensable. That means they can't do without you. Say amen to this. Now that's you now. Don't think Well, I just, you know, I don't even know who my daddy is. Yes, you do. It's Jesus. My point to you is, see, don't be trying to disqualify yourself. Well, I've been married 5 times. That's 4 dumb mistakes you made. Now make this one work. Now, see, whatever you come up with, he got enough blood. He got enough redemption. He got it. You come up with it. You didn't choose him. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You didn't have enough sense to choose him. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't care where you've been, what you did, so far. If you, any man that's in Christ, becomes a new creature. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, God's going to use you. I don't care if your low self-esteem self was just as low as you could get. He's going to take you and make a king out of you. He's going to make a ruler out of you. Why? Because it's your time. It's time for the beautification of the church. It's time for you, like Esther, to put on your royal apparel. It's time for you to go into the palace and get half the kingdom. That's what time it is, folks. And it's by grace. And where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. You ain't messed up bad enough for God not to be able to clean you up. So straighten your back up. You are somebody in Jesus. Now, let me go back to where I was. Where am I right now here? Mark 4. Now, some of y'all still did teaching. Well, you don't know. I was abused when I was a kid. I understand that. I understand that. But you got to get a hold of the power of the blood. I said, you got to get a hold of the power of the blood. He said, he can make you forget the things that are behind. I said, he can make. Well, I don't know whether I want to forget it. That's your business. God said, forget it. Now, I know that that thing shouldn't have happened, and the enemy has condemned you for years, but I'm here to let you know that you're brand new right now. That body is the same thing that happened to be in that incident, but your body is not even you. That's going back to the dust. The real you is up in that body, and the real you ain't never been abused. You are brand new, man. Walk in the spirit. Well, see, that's why I don't like men today. Oh, wait a minute. A man is who saved you. Get rid of all that old thinking. Just dump it out. Just say, from this day forward, I'm going to walk in the newness of life. I'm going to be who God says I am, and I'm not going to come down to any level of the flesh that will try to condemn me or make me feel inferior. From this point in time, I am a king. I am royalty. I am God's child. I am his offspring. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a partaker of his heavenly calling. Just start naming everything that I am. Say amen. It's hard for you to receive the blessing of the Lord with a low self-esteem, with a sense of inferiority, because his promises were made for kings. That's why he got to bring you up. He said, I commend you to God, Acts chapter 20, 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and then give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. See, before he can give it to you, he got to build you up. That's why that group from Egypt couldn't go into Canaan, because of image. You can't receive seen the best of God with a low self-esteem image? Folks, you are not beneath cancer. Cancer is beneath you. Praise God. And when you see it that way, you'll tell it what to do.
Yes.
And it will obey you. But God is raising up people in every area, in every field, in every profession. He's raising them up. Raising up ball players. He's raising up, I'm talking about real Holy Ghost filled folk. Say amen to that. I'm telling you, I'm coming in contact with them now in Hollywood and so forth. They are spirit filled. They are solid for Jesus. I'm telling you, they coming out with some revelation. I said, woo, where you get that from, babe? Praise the Lord. Let me write that down. I'm telling you, he's putting them in every area. Why? Because we ain't coming to take sides no more. We have taken sides before. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm an AME and Episcopalian. Well, now I'm going to be Jesus. And I'm from the kingdom of God. And I come to establish a new government. And I'm taking over. I want this to be this way. This going to be cut out. We ain't doing this no more. We canceling this law. We taking this off the books. That's that boldness you ought to have. Man. Oh, God. I ought to wipe my mouth. Somebody pull it now, boy. You pulling stuff out of my mouth. But now, all right, let's look at this. See, because you can always come up with something that can condemn yourself. And that's a trick of the devil. He's trying to get you not to forget it. But see, you can't look both ways. You got to look at the Word. You got to look at Jesus. What did he say about you? That's all I'm going to consider now. I said, that's all I'm going to consider now. Because I don't know about you, but I'm going to the top. See, and if we don't compromise, we're going to cause a shift. Oh, have mercy. And you're going to see some laws that were on the books before, they're going to be reversed. Going to be a shift. Watch and see. Oh, yeah, the enemy had, he had dominion. See, he had control of it. Told Jesus, didn't want Jesus to come through the cross. So he said, hey, just bow down and worship me, and you don't have to go to the cross. I'll just give you all this right now. But Jesus knew that if he ever let Satan give him something, Satan could control him. Whatever you fear controls you. That's why he says, fear not. Bible says fear of man brings a snare. See, some people fear because they don't want to get up and look. Just stay with God. Don't fear a thing. Don't fear anything. Now, understand, what we minister is not for everybody. Because this is not a church for everybody. This is for the church for people who go into the top. This is what this church is. I figured it out. This is not for everybody. Everybody don't want to hear the truth. There are people who tried to kill Jesus for telling the truth. Well, if they tried to kill him, you know what I'm saying. You know? But we're going to get there. Say amen to that. But I'm letting you know, nobody in the house can stop you, so you don't need to use that excuse no more. Your past can't stop you, so you can't use that no more. Your money can't stop you, so you can't. Are you following what I'm saying? Or whatever. No, nothing can stop you from getting your destiny but you. You keep your mouth right, because as you move forward, you're going to have a battle. Now, when you have a battle, keep your mouth right, because what you say in the battle is half the battle. Okay? And I like what the man said, speak the word to it and through it.
All right.
Speak it to it and through it. Just keep saying that word. And boy, it's just like fire to the devil. Demons, when that word comes in like that, it heats up around them. And they be, they can't stand it. Just keep that word coming up. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, let's just tune in. Are y'all with me here? I'm not gonna keep you long, but I'm gonna give you the keys to going where you want to go, because each one of you have been gifted, has been gifted. You're carrying gifts in you. God put them in you when you came in. You're loaded right now. Say, I'm loaded. All right. Okay, let's look at this. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There was also with him other little ships. Watch this. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Verse 1 of chapter 5. And they came over to the other side of the sea, in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man, him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. No man could stop him. Nothing in this earth could stop him. But because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying with cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked, what is thy name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. So there was there nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now this man was ended up, that was possessed, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. But let's just talk about a couple of things here. So Jesus is going to the other side. What is he going to the other side to do? He's going to the other side because he's invading the strong man's house. And he's going to take back what the goods that the strong man were holding. And the strong man was holding this man. Now, what was he doing with this man? He was using this man to control the system, the weather system. He was using him to be behind the system, controlling the system to keep people under control. But Jesus woke up, they woke him up, and Jesus woke up and spoke rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. So it tells me that they could have done it. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what man of man is this? Well, we know the man was the Christ Jesus, but he was a manifestation of the Son of God. Now, we have an obligation, a responsibility, and an authority to possess this entire planet. Now, according to the Bible, everything in this earth belongs to us. I'm not asking you what you think about that statement. I'm reading the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but if it belongs to me, I want mine. I thank you for it. Now, in this, they fear. If you refuse to be terrified of your enemies, glory to God. your enemies are bound to be destroyed. If you refuse to be terrified of your enemies are bound to be destroyed. Now, I'm going to leave that for just a moment, but I'm showing you that he's going on an assignment because he's headed up this mountain. See, you can see it in the imagination. And he's headed up this mountain. But the enemy had a system to stop it. But he broke through the system and dismantled the system. Oh, you got to see it. See, because he's running people through the system. It's a system that's governing people's lives. And no one can beat the system. The only one that can beat the system is Jesus. But now Jesus has given the church authorization to beat the system. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, folks, I've had people come in here and say, Pastor, I can't find any jobs. He said, I said, what happened? Well, I've been incarcerated, and every time I go out and get a job and they see, you know, that I've been incarcerated and so forth and got a record, then they won't hire me and so forth. He said, you know, I mean, should I just leave that off and kind of lie on the form a little bit? I said, no, Doc. I said, integrity is what this thing works through. I said, here's what you do. Let's agree right now that you're going to get that job. If God has to put his hand over your application, say amen to that. He's going to do it. Brother came back, had a job. He said they read everything. They said, that's all right. We're going to train you anyway, and so forth and so on. You see what I'm saying? What did he need? He needed favor from God. You see what I'm saying? And the system tried to get you to cooperate with the system. So, because the system is dishonest, the system is full of, oh, you follow what I'm saying? Lies and everything. You don't need to do that. You can go in there straight up. I said straight up. And God will give you favor. Say amen to that. Amen. He gives favor to the righteous. So he'll have them people that want to have you in there and treat you better than anybody else that's in there. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Come on now. But what I'm saying is that's by faith. You have to get that by faith. That doesn't come any other way. You can't get it in the flesh. You got to get it by faith. You got to receive it by faith. Now, I'm going to show you this in just a minute. Go over to Daniel with me real quick. Daniel chapter 6. Lord have mercy. Give me just a few more minutes now because I got 1 minute and 37 seconds and so forth. But we're going to serve communion, so I don't want you to move. But I'm going to give you this. Give me about 5 more minutes. Can you give me? You got 5 more minutes on your derriere? Okay, 5 more minutes. All right. Hey. Don't say that, man. You set me off when you say that. I might be here all night. I might. Okay. All right. That's all right. All right. Now, let's see what I said to you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, what I'm saying is the people. Oh, Jesus. The people who. I forgot what I was saying now. The people who. The folks who try to stop you. Oh, Lord. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to cover too much territory on this here. But here, you can read it yourself. The people that tried to stop Daniel from rising, okay? He was going to the mountaintop. And the people who tried to stop him were all these people who got together to scheme against Daniel and so forth. They threw Daniel in the lion's den. Did the lion eat Daniel? No. But he was hungry. Let me prove that to you. Verse 24, please. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him where? Into the den of lions. Them, their who? Children, keep going. Their wives, Rover, and no, I didn't say that. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, so the people who are coming against you are going to be the people that are going to suffer. You got to hear what I'm saying. when they set a trap for you, they're going to fall in it themselves. All right. So, verse 28, so Daniel did what? He prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So notice, here's Daniel, and he's working on getting to the top. So my point to you is that you have been gifted to come into those areas, and God's going to raise you up. Now, here's the thing that you don't want. You don't want God to raise you up and you say, look what I did. Now, is somebody here with me now? Okay, look what I did. Now, let me show you this. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, please. Daniel chapter 2. Now, this is for you. This is going to be kind of deep now, but I'm trusting that you're going to be able to get this. All right, this is a case where the king had a dream, Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't know what he dreamed or what it meant, but his sleep went from him. In other words, something disturbed him about the dream. So, verse 2, the king commanded to call the magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers, and Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled, and I know the dream. Oh, it was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syria, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the, interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. In other words, I'm going to cut your neck off. If you don't tell me what I dream and tell me quick, I'm going to execute you. But if you show me the dream, interpretation of the dream, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and so forth. So they were properly motivated both ways. Verse 7, they answered again and said, let the king tell the servants a dream, and we will show you the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, hey, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known to me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for so forth and so on. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom, and Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to him, to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, this secret, that Daniel and his followers should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are whose? His. All right. Let's just stop right there. God has gifted you. And the Bible says a man's gift will do what? Make room for him and bring him before great men. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. Now that has double reference, but it means also your gifting is going to make room for you and bring him before great men. Now here's the deal. You don't want to get in this situation and start going toe-to-toe with the world in giftings. Because I read you a scripture that you have an anointing for 10 times better than the world does. So you have something inside of you and upon you called an anointing. A short definition for it is the performance enhancer. That this anointing is going to be there to be on top of your gift. And it's going to raise you up above the people of the world. Turn to Exodus chapter 7. And then we got one more and we're done. Exodus chapter 7. I want you to see this now. Because God is sending you to take over. Not only are you going to take over, I want you to expect some things. Come on now, Exodus chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? Look at verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a what? A serpent. Then Pharaoh also called his wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. My point to you is that your gift plus the anointing is going to swallow up every gifting that they might have and place you on top in control of the high places. That God, now, to get this to work, you've got to believe it. Because, oh Jesus, the blessings, God cannot bless without you asking for it. But when you ask, you have to ask in faith. Now, I want you to hear me. The church has still been walking with the world. Now, when I say that, I mean your abilities far exceed the world. And what you have to do is, in Daniel's case, here is the king. Nobody in their natural gifting could solve the problem. But the anointing plus gifting solved the king's problem. My point to you is that the world, folks, I understand internet, Microsoft, and all that. Suppose I tell you that there's a level above that. That will obsolete the system that's out there right now. See, the same thing happened in flying. They didn't believe that folk were supposed to fly. But the Wright brothers came along. But then after they got that, somebody said, no, we can fly much faster than that.
Right.
And they said, well, how is that going to happen? What did they have to do? They had to go to a new generation of flying. Call a jet engine. I was talking to a man, he said, hey, you know, oil is a counterfeit water. I said, what? Suppose instead of having to put oil in your car and get emissions, you can run it on water. Whatever gifting and sphere of influence you're in, God wants to give you an idea. Oh, Lord have mercy. I knew that's his name.
Right.
I'm telling you, folks, the educational system, there's a new level that we can go to. There's a way we can go and be able to teach kids that we have never been able to teach before.
Right.
But it's like the church has just been operating down there with the world and competing for that space. Listen, folks, you're so far above that space.
Amen.
Just take my, can you take my word for it?
Yes.
Listen, Daniel didn't know what God was going to tell him, but he did know this. He said, King, give me a couple of days. I'll be back with an answer.
That's right.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
I feel like I'm hitting a wall here now. I feel like I'm... I remember a man called me as CEO of one of the large Fortune 500 corporations around in this whole area and said, hey, I need to do something for these kids in inner city. I need to know what to do for them. And I went and met with him, so forth. He said, yeah, I'm just sending, and me and some other people and chairman of Newsweek and whatnot, we were talking and so forth. I said, okay. He said, I'm looking to do something for them. I said, I tell you what, give me 7 days and I'll come back and tell you what to do. Now, I didn't know what to do. But I knew that I had contact with the wisdom of God. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2 real quick. Proverbs chapter 2. Y'all stay with me now. Don't run out on me because I'm real delicate. I'm real sensitive at this point in time. I'm almost done. But I want to give this to you so that you can be looking for something different. See, we got to take those mountains because whoever controls the mountains controls the sphere of influence. And we're coming in. The Bible says wisdom is better than weapons of war. You don't need to go in and choke nobody or hold a gun on nobody. You don't need to do that. Just use wisdom and you can bring them over to your side.
Amen.
Folks, shoo-wee. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, what did I tell you to turn? Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 2. And look what it says in verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up what? Sound wisdom for who? The righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. So he's laying up sound wisdom for you. Isn't he laying it up for you? Now, if he laid it up for you, then you're going to have to get it. And God cannot bless without you asking for it. God cannot bless without you placing a demand on the covenant. Are you following what I'm saying? You got to hear me. All right, turn to James chapter 1, all the way back by the book of Revelation. James chapter 1, I'm almost done. I know Super Bowl. I'm almost done. James chapter 1. Look what it says, James chapter 1. Glory to God. Come on, James. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 1. Have you got it? Say, praise the Lord. Come on. Verse 5. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. Let him what? Ask of God. That giveth what? To all men what? Liberally and what? Upbraideth not. And what will happen? It shall be given him. But let him ask how? Let him ask how? In faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think, keep going, that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So I can go where other folk can't go. But what I have to do is I have to ask for it. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, praise the Lord. 1 John, oh, y'all, so it's a good congregation. Oh, y'all just sitting here. 1 John chapter 5, come on now, because we can outrun the world. See, when they are coming up with it, then they're getting the money for it. They're the ones who are controlling everything. But if we can control that mountaintop, if we won't bow down, if we will stay with God and not shrink away from problems, because we have access to the wisdom of God to solve any problem that's in this earth. Praise God. Look what it says here in verse 14. This is a confidence that we have in who? Him. That if we ask, come on, anything according to his will, what does he do? He hears us. And if we know that he what? Hear us, whatever we ask, keep going, we know we have what? The what? We have the petition that we desired of him. Now, this is where I want to take you. Come on, this is receiving our inheritance. I want to take it to this. I want to take it to the fact that now, where you are, in order for things to work in your life, you must leave the realm of the senses. Where you are now, there's nothing in your senses that can contact this, whatever you want, that are involved. Nothing. That your relationship from this point on with God, in terms of the things you desire, you need or want, have nothing to do with anything you can feel, see, taste, touch, and smell from this day forward. They have nothing to do with it. They have nothing to do with it. God is sending you to take rulership, to take over. But as you go in there, you're going to have to do it by faith. But if you're looking to do it by faith, faith means that you've left the sense realm. That no longer are you looking to your senses to tell you anything in terms of good or bad or indifferent or whether you have it or whether you don't. Your senses are not involved. So, the natural senses belong to the natural man. You are not the natural man. You are a spiritual man. And you are going in and possess things, but you're going to have to take them by faith. Say amen to that. Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And when he signed it, every slave was made free. Now, they had to simply believe what was signed and act on it. So suppose the slaves would have looked around and said, well, I don't look like it's free. They act in the same way. They talk in the same way. Then would the slaves have been free? No, they had been legally freed, but they had never acted on what was legally written. Why? Because sometimes they're looking around, seeing if things agree with what's written legally. But I'm telling you right now, from this day forward, in order for you to receive your inheritance in your promised land, you're going to operate in a level that is beyond anything that you can see, that you can feel, that your emotions would tell you, or anything. You are not in that realm anymore. So, when it comes time to solve the problem, you're not going to look and just look at your natural intellectual world program mind. You're going to look and say, Lord, I need an answer to this problem. Say amen to that. Because this is what Daniel did. He went in to seek the mercies of God. He said, Lord, I need an answer. I need you not only to tell me what the king dreamed, but I need you to give me the interpretation for what he dreamed. Now, this is the confidence that you have in him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he just heard you. And if he heard you, you know you have. I said, you know you have. You know you have the petition you desired of him. Now, I'm telling y'all this because not only is your wisdom there, but your provisions are there. Your rent money is there. Come on, your healing is there. Come on, your marriage being made whole is there. Is it? Your victory is there. Your esteem is there. Everything that you need is in this book. But the way you gonna get it is fight for it. But the fight that you gonna fight is the good fight of faith. You gonna believe you received it when you pray, and if you know you've received it, then thank God for it and keep walking on. You're not gonna ask him for it another time. And nothing can stop you. And the reason why nothing can stop you is because once you get up in that realm, you're in a realm called the eternal. And the devil cannot get in the eternal. He is down in a level that such is common to natural man. And he can't get out. He has to stay in the level of the senses. So he's called the God of this what? World. That means he's the God of the senses. He will even try to make you feel something that ain't even true. So you've got to ignore that and go by by the word, by his stripe, you are healed. He has given you the victory. He has made you to triumph. That's where the church is right now, and that's why it hasn't gone any further.
Amen.
That's why the world still got the billions, because the church is still a little hesitant about leaving the realm of the flesh. Folks, we're crossing over. We're going over. We're getting our stuff. Jesus turned to him and said, hey, my friends, wait a minute. You didn't need to wake me up. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And that's all you need to know. Is you with your faith can access every promise, every inheritance, everything that God has for you to live a life of love and godliness and pleasure. It's right in this book. And folks, I'm accessing. I want everything that's on the table. He's prepared a table before you. And I want all mine. The green beans, the butter beans, the candied yams. I'm getting hungry right now. This is ours. This is ours. This is ours. You can stay so far ahead of the world it'll make their head swim. That's what you've been made for. You've been made for solving problems. The world should see the church as indispensable. Well, we can't solve this. Call some church folk. Are there any church folks around? You say, yeah, I can do it. Give me 2 days. I'll have an answer for you. Watch this. Any man lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. But let him ask how? In faith. Nothing wavering. Once you ask it, believe you receive it. Watch this. When you pray. Not after you pray. You believe you receive it when you pray, and you shall have it. Who taught us that? Jesus taught us that, because that's the way he operated. When he spoke to that storm, he believed he what? Received it. When? When he spoke. Right then. Right then. He said, wait a minute. Where is your faith? I taught you how to do this. No man can stop a storm. That was a problem that no man could solve. But the manifestation of the sons of God, you could stop it. I'm telling you, folks, this is a piece that I got to go into. But as I go there, we're going to leave your flesh. And you're going to have to practice it at home. And stop going off on folk. Come on, I'm talking to somebody now. I'm getting it. I'm reading your mail now. You got to practice that.
Yes, Lord.
In the military, they told us, yes, sir, no, sir, no excuse, sir. Three answers. And you were involved in something, and you know somebody else did it. And they all of a sudden, they bring you in there, and you got to say, yes, sir, no excuse, sir. In other words, you can't be in there saying, well, Colonel, you know what happened was, he don't want to hear that. He wants to hear, no excuse, sir. Yes, sir, no excuse, sir. All right, dismiss him. And boy, your flesh be just crawling. Man, I should have told him. And you couldn't tell him. And that's the military's way of getting you off your flesh. Because you want to give somebody a long story. You get people who had surgery. Notice what the first thing they do. Yeah, girl, I had it. And let me tell you, let me show you where it cut me. It cut me all down here. It cut me. That they always want to show you their wound. You don't need to show anybody your wound. He said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify who?
The Father.
The Father. And you look at those three Hebrews, when they didn't bow, Look at the end of that chapter, chapter 2, and notice what happened to them. They got promoted. Why? Because when you don't bow, then you pass the test.
Yes.
And when you pass the test, then God raises you to your next level of glory. Did this make sense to you?
Yes.
Give the Lord praise. Amen. All right, before you move. Woo! Hey. Did that come out, Sister Tammy? Did that all right? Okay, let me just say this. Let me say this to you. What I taught you this morning, this afternoon, was right on the edge. I mean, this is leading edge revelation right now. We're talking about taking control of the mountaintops. And whatever area you're in, from being a homemaker to being a scientist or being a pilot or being a ball player, whatever have you, God wants you to stand out. You are under a covenant of distinction. He's going to distinguish you. Not so much that he could show people who you are, but you're going to show them who he is. You're going to lead people to Christ. All right, if you're here, I know I kept you long. If God has spoken to your heart about being born again, we need to get you into the kingdom of God. Here's what's happening. God sent you here. Now, understand the reason why God sent you here. He sent you here because you need a Savior. You need to be born again. Now, understand that this is key for you to receive all of this. This is not that you can't get kingdom principles without being in the kingdom. And once you get born again, you're born again in the kingdom of God. The Bible says we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. God wants you to be in his kingdom and wants you to have, glory to God, he wants you to have all the advantages that Jesus died for you to have those in your life. And God wants you to have it now. Plus the fact, you really can't know what you're supposed to do until you give your life to the one who made you. So when you come to him, he begins to tell you what you've really been made to do, what your giftings really are. You know, the worst thing I think in life is to work and do something all your life, and it never was what you were supposed to do. It was never fulfilling to you. You're retired or somebody retired, and they feel bad because they didn't feel like they really did anything in life. Why? Because you were never in the line of work that you were supposed to do. You've been designed to do. Well, God knows what that is, and his job through the Holy Spirit is to get you into it. So if you're here today, and God is speaking to your heart about being born again, that's the first step. I want to pray with you right now. In this step of being born again, all your sins are blotted out. Everything in your life that the enemy has stolen, God begins to get back. Everything in your life that the enemy has put on you, God takes it off. Why? Because you become his child. So I want to pray first for those to be born again. If you hear...